Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Vayikra. This week, in addition to this podcast, there'll be a second podcast for Purim, so check out your podcast feed system and tune in for that one as well. Also this week, I can announce that the subject for the Executive Learning Seminar this summer has now been announced. It will be Ruth and Esther, From Rags to Royalty. That'll be July 3rd through 7th here in Jerusalem at Pardes, and I urge that you check it out. All the details are on www.pardes.org.il/executive. The Executive Seminar is one of our top programs. It tends to sell out, so I urge you to sign up early. It's for people of every age and especially focused for people in their 30s and older. I have been on several of them, and they're a fantastic way to have some highest quality Jewish learning in a short time in Jerusalem during the summer. So please check it out at pardes.org.il/executive. And this week, this podcast is on Vayikra by Rabbi Howard Marcos. Rabbi Marcos is a member of the Pardes faculty. And now, Rabbi Howard Marcos.
Thank you, Larry. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Each month, Pardes presents a series of podcasts brought to you mainly by members of the Pardes faculty in Jerusalem. There's usually a theme which those presenting podcasts are asked to relate to in some way. This month, the theme is women, and as Larry mentioned, the Torah portion that I will be focusing on is Parshat Vayikra, the beginning chapters of the Sefer Vayikra, the book of Leviticus. So how can we possibly address the topic of women in a parasha which lists in a very dry and methodical way the various animal and grain offerings, korbanot, that were to be brought to the administering priest and sacrificed on the altar? So let's try this. There is a term that is used no less than 50 times in the book of Vayikra, the book of Leviticus, that refers to something fiery from the Hebrew word esh, and that is the word isheh. This fiery offering is often paired with instructions from the Torah to the priest to make the sacrifice be completely consumed by the fire, creating a pleasing odor whose smoke rises up to heaven. In our chapter of Vayikra, for example, in Leviticus 1:9, we read, V'hiktir ha-kohen et ha-kol ha-mizbecha, ola ishe reach nichoach la-adonai. The priest shall turn the whole offering into smoke on the altar as a burnt offering, an offering by fire of pleasing odor to the Lord. Many years ago, when I was a student at the University of Minnesota working on my bachelor's degree, I became very involved with the Hillel on campus, and one of the positions that I had when I was there was Gabbai of the synagogue. My job was to encourage the Jewish population who frequented the Hillel house on campus to be present for the morning minyan which I organized. It meant three times a week, which meant that we would have at least one day which would include a weekly morning Torah reading. I read Torah some of the time, but most of the time I was able to delegate the Torah portions to other active participants who would read. Well, one time the person who was supposed to read Parshat Vayikra not only didn't prepare the reading, he didn't even let me know he wasn't coming to school that Monday, the day that we had scheduled Minyan with a Torah reading. Seeing that I was the Gabbai, I was the one on whom the responsibility to learn the reading at the last minute fell. I tried to learn it as quickly as possible during the repetition of the Shachrin Amidah, but it was not an easy task, to say the least. The time had come for me to read the Torah. I read the first Aliyah pretty successfully, and I was on to the second Aliyah. The Levi finished reciting the preliminary blessing, and I began chanting the second Aliyah. "Wow, this is going very well," I said to myself as I continued to chant the verses. "Almost there. One more verse," I said to myself. Then it happened. As I came to the end of the Aliyah, I sang, V'hiktir ha-kohen et ha-kol ha-mizbecha, ola isha reach nichoach la-Hashem. Oh no! Instead of saying isha reach nichoach, I said isha reach nichoach, which actually means, instead of a fiery sacrifice, a woman possessing a pleasant odor who is to be sacrificed. I was promptly corrected, and the rabbi approached me afterwards and asked me whether I had issues with the female gender such that I would want to suggest that they be the ones offered on the altar by the priests. Needless to say, I've never made that particular mistake again while reading Torah. Getting back to our parsha, we are introduced to the manual of sacrificial offerings in Parshat Vayikra, containing the rules and regulations of what circumstances require which types of sacrifices, be they animal or grain offerings. What's worth noting, I think, are the cases delineated near the end of the parasha, which relate to accidental sin, whether by virtue of action taken or action not taken. We're talking then about sins of commission and sins of omission, for both of which we are accountable. Let's look at these two cases and see whether the Torah is providing us with antiquated laws that were observed in the community of ancient Israel, or whether there might also be present in this parasha a message of relevance for us today. Chapter 4 begins with the first of many case law introductions, the first of which sets up a situation in which a person unwittingly commits an offense regarding actions that are not to be done, but that the person did. This would be an example of a sin of commission, which comes about as a result of action taken with the best of intentions, but which ends up with an unfavorable outcome. Let me cite for you an example. There are three doctors in an ear, nose, and throat clinic. They have two administrative assistants who look after the running of the office. The office has a small refrigerator for the five of them to store various foods that they consume while at work. The only problem is that the freezer is one of those which doesn't have an automatic self-defrost mechanism and has to be unplugged on a regular basis in order for the frost to melt, which then provides an increased amount of room in the freezer portion of the appliance. One of the administrative assistants is in charge of looking after the regular defrosting regimen, and he gets to it every 3 weeks or so, which is just about at the time that the freezer becomes unusable. One time, one of the physicians decided that this method of defrosting was too slow and painstaking. She took a letter opener and started chopping away at the ice, something that the manuals state unequivocally on the first page, "Do not attempt to clear away frost from the freezer with a utensil such as a knife or an ice pick. It could cause damage to the appliance." Sure enough, about halfway into the project, the doctor's letter opener found the cooling line in the back of the freezer, punctured it, and rendered the entire machine unusable. They had to throw it out and buy a new one, as to replace the cooling line was almost as expensive as buying a whole new refrigerator. The doctor was never looking to break the appliance. Her sin was accidental, of course, but it came about as a result of her doing something which she was informed was not to be done, namely, to use a sharp foreign object to remove the frost from the freezer. When this happens, according to the Torah, a sacrifice is to be made, even if the sin was a complete accident. The law of expiation, as it's called, in which an individual or an entire community which may have acted in a way that resulted in the committing of a sin, action which leads to an undesirable outcome, must bring a sacrifice to God. By doing so, the slate is wiped completely clean, because there was never evil intent. The next case begins in verse 22 of chapter 4. So far, we have examined cases which describe either a person or a community committing a sin which is accidental. The text begins in each case with the words, "In the event that a person or a community sins accidentally," and so on. In this third case study, the text begins, "Asher nasi yecheta, v'asa achat mikol mitzvot Adonai Elohav asher lo te'asena bishgaga v'ashem." When a chieftain, a nasi, commits the same kind of inadvertent sin before God, just as was mentioned before. But please notice that the verse begins with the word asher, when, and not im, if. It is almost as if to say that for regular human beings, there's a chance that these accidents will happen. There's a chance. With chieftains, community leaders, dare I say politicians, it is not a matter of if, but rather it is a question of when. Due to their lofty position among the people, their actions quite often come under extreme scrutiny, leading to undetected mistakes of commission or omission being exposed and publicized to the general public. The Torah teaches that these persons, when they sin, are obliged to bring the same offerings as everyone else, as if to make the statement that they too make mistakes and must also be held accountable. These leaders are not exempt from bringing a sin offering just because they are in a place of prominence in the community. Currently, in the United States presidential race that will culminate in November of this year, there have been numerous cases of ostensibly inadvertent sins that have been committed by the candidates. A couple of weeks ago, one candidate was accused of spreading rumors about another candidate because his director of public relations put out an ad saying that his opponent trashed the Bible. Another candidate is still saying that her use of a private email server while she was Secretary of State was neither illegal nor damaging to the U.S. security in the world. In both of these cases, and there are more to come of that, I'm quite confident, should the perpetrator not be made responsible for the sins that were committed by accident as a result of action that was not supposed to be done? Society needs its individuals to be accountable, even when they are not actively transgressing. To say, "I didn't mean it, but I will still take responsibility for its consequences," is something that is heard very infrequently on the campaign trail or even in our homes or workplaces. Another interesting message brought forth by our parasha has to do with public involvement in the seeking of justice. Chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, states, "V'nefesh ki techeta v'shama'a kol ala, v'hu eid, o ra'a, o yada, im lo yagid, v'nasa avono." Now a person, when he sins, should he hear a public voice carrying a threat, and though he was a witness either seeing or knowing, if he does not tell, he is subject to punishment. This is a very important concept being expressed in a rather convoluted way. What the text is telling us is that the verse reflects a case in which, if a person becomes aware of a crime, either as it is being committed or after it has been carried out, and does not go to the authorities to share what they know, they themselves are liable and subject to punishment. I guess this is a more elaborate way of teaching the mitzvah found later on in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 16, in which we are told, "Lo telech rachil be'amecha, lo ta'amod al dam re'echa, ani Adonai." You are not to traffic in slander among your kinspeople. You are not to stand by the blood of your neighbor. I am the Lord. To stand by the blood of your neighbor, suggests Rashi and others, is to stand idly by when one's neighbor's life is in danger. But whereas the verse in chapter 19 is simply sharing the mandate, our verse in chapter 5 not only expresses the command from God to reject apathy when someone needs our help, it also delineates the sacrifices that must be brought when this sin is committed through conscious non-action. Some of you may recall the sad case of Kitty Genovese, a 28-year-old woman living in New York City who was stabbed to death outside of her apartment back in March of 1964. 38 people either saw or heard the attack, similar to what our verse in Vayikra says, "O ra'ah, o shama," and not one called the police for help. This tragedy, which happened over 50 years ago, gave rise to the sociological study of the Genovese syndrome, also known as the bystander effect. The socio-psychological studies that followed seemed to uncover a phenomenon in which the more bystanders there are, the greater likelihood it is that there will be a diffusion of responsibility and no one will take action. Every single one of us is responsible to get involved. There is, at least in the eyes of our Jewish tradition, no room to say someone else will step forward, or that someone else will know what to do better than I, or even, maybe I won't do the right thing, so I will do nothing. We must carry the punishment, says the Torah. If we have a way, any way, to clear the innocent of guilt or protect the helpless from attack, and we do nothing. And it is as critical for us to take this lesson to heart today as it was 50 years ago, or 2,000 years ago, for that matter. I looked in the Code of Hammurabi, an Akkadian masterpiece that was written into a gigantic stela in the 18th century before the Common Era, in what is now modern-day Iraq, and found only two places where he ends a particular law with the words, "He shall bear the penalty of that case," a direct translation of our Hebrew, "Vinasa avono." One is when a person brings false testimony on cases regarding money or grain, as opposed to murder, an act for which false testimony will result in death. That is to say, a false testimony about murder results in death. The others do not. The other law is law number 13. If a person claims to have lost property, he must bring a witness forward to testify to that fact, or he will be found to be a cheat and will be put to death. If he claims there to be a witness, but is initially unable to bring the witness forward, the judges shall give the person 6 months to produce said witness, and if he does not come forward, he shall bear the penalty of that case. Some say that the "he" at the end of this law refers to the claimant, while others, such as myself, believe that it refers to the witness, who, by virtue of the fact that he did not come forward to testify on behalf of a fellow human being who was innocent, must bear the penalty of his apathy. There are at least 24 cases in the Bible which conclude with the phrase, "Vinasa avono," he shall bear his iniquity, which really means he is subject to punishment, meaning that he must bring an offering and ask for forgiveness. Many of these cases have their parallel in Hammurabi's code, but there the penalty is usually death. Our sacrificial system, delineated in detail in our chapters of Vayikra, seemed to bring a modicum of moderation to the punishment doled out for false testimony and apathy without completely relieving the transgressor of responsibility. Esther, the heroine of the Purim story, which we will be reading in the synagogue very soon, was strongly encouraged by Mordechai to get involved, warning her that the penalty of indifference would be her death and the death of the Jews of Persia. Esther heeded his words and went to the king to give testimony to the insidious plot being hatched by Haman to kill the Jews. We are told, "Vayomer Mordechai lehashiv el Esther, al tedabi v'nafshech lehimaleit beit hamelech mikol hayehudim, ki im hacharesh tacharishi ba'et hazot, revach v'hatzala ya'amod layehudim mimakom acher, ve'at uveit avich tovedu. Umi yodea im le'et kazot, higat la'malchut." Then Mordechai sent this answer to Esther. Do not imagine that you, of all the Jews, will escape with your life by being in the king's palace. On the contrary, if you keep silent in this crisis, relief and deliverance will come to the Jews from another quarter, while you and your father's house will perish. And who knows? Perhaps you have attained to royal position for just such a crisis. We have all attained the position that we are in so that we can take action when action is called for. We must not abdicate that responsibility. Not now, not ever. What began as a foray into the rules and regulations of the sacrificial cult in the book of Vayikra has become a mandate to get involved, even when we might believe that it is not our problem or that others will take care of it. We must muster the courage to get involved, teach the sages, as long as we do not place our lives in danger. And from what we have seen in the past here in Israel, brave citizens of all walks of life have even chosen to take the path of risking their lives in the face of the danger brought about by random terrorist stabbers, car rammers, or shooters. It is not easy to get involved, but no one ever said that observing the mitzvot was going to be easy. Phil Ox, a well-known singer and songwriter of the protest movement of the 1960s, penned a song called Outside of a Small Group of Friends, which I would like to play for you now. It was released in 1967 as a response to a conversation that Ox had with a friend of his regarding the murder of Kitty Genovese. About this, Ox wrote as follows. It came out of a chance remark late at night at a coffee house. I was talking to a Canadian guy and he said, "Oh, I'm sure it wouldn't interest anybody outside of a small circle of friends." I said, "What did you say?" And I picked up a guitar and zoom. The chords came right away. Please listen to the words and reflect with me on what our responsibility must continue to be in this world. In the spirit of the topsy-turvy nature of Purim, take note of the fact that this song, with its upbeat tune and cheerful instrumentals, contrasts starkly with its words and its message. So here it is. I leave you today with the prayer that God grant us the wisdom, insight, and the spirit of activism to make decisions that will better the world today as well as the future. And may what we carry on our shoulders be feelings of responsibility and not indifference, pride and not shame, and that it really does interest anybody, not just a small circle of friends. Purim Sameach to you all.
Thank you, Rabbi Marcos. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you later this week for the Purim Podcast. Thanks very much.